This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. The second hour of the radio program is upon you. Hope your Friday's going well. Dirt and Sprague with you here on Radio.com. 1080 The Fan, Portland sports leader, don't you know it. We'll get to the college football slate. Some games this weekend. We don't just do, like, you could look at the slate and go, oh, Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma, Texas, cool. No. I actually think there's other interesting games, too.
There's a lot of them this weekend.
So we'll go down that. We got some NFL news and notes to discuss as well. All right, crunch time around the corner. We'll do some What the Line. KT's going to hop on for Sprague and Line as well. So we have a lot to discuss. The NBA Finals tonight, will the Lakers shut it out, or can Miami extend the series? They seem pretty confident that it's not over yet. So we'll get to all that. But I thought this is an interesting story from Christian Capel of The Athletic. Fun fact about Christian Capel, he used to write for the Spokesman Review and the Seattle Times. Mm-hmm. And I reached out at both places he was at, and I never got a response.
He's not coming on the show. We must have done something to him in a former life. He's not big fans of ours.
No, I've never met him. So there you go. But he does pretty good work. He covers the Washington Huskies on a regular basis for that website. But he did one on the Pac-12 officiating. As you mentioned, it is that time where we start getting hot and bothered by Pac-12 officials. And I'm just going to start the beginning of the story. I think it's really good. On the same day, Pac-12 presidents and chancellors originally voted to postpone the season August 11th. Commissioner Larry Scott and Chief Operating Officer Jamie Zeninovich and every conference AD also received a reminder of perhaps the league's most high-profile on-field issue. It arrived in their inboxes at 8:54 a.m. with an all-caps subject line, "A message from your football officials." Obtained via records request, the anonymous email is addressed to Scott specifically and signed only by concerned Pac-12 officials. So a group of officials came together and they formed this email. They didn't identify themselves. It did outline a number of concerns regarding the conference's implementation of a 2019 report that was conducted by Simpson Consulting, an independent firm hired to review Pac-12 officiating. And basically, they were really hot and bothered, and they wanted big changes made to help them out so they didn't look bad. Because what do we do every Saturday when Pac-12 football is being played?
We complain about the officiating.
We talk and we tweet and we Facebook, and it's never about our teams. It's mainly, did you see how bad that holding call was? How about that flag? And so these officials are basically done with it, and it concluded calling for change. They want David Coleman, who is the Pac-12's VP for officiating, they want him out. They said, as a first step, we demand that an officiating coordinator change be made by next Tuesday, August 18th. The letter concludes by saying that if no change is made, the concerned officials would take their complaints public. Pac-12 did not make their wishes true. David Coleman was not fired. And almost nobody cared about the Pac-12 officiating going public. In fact, the only person to run a story was a columnist in Riverside, California, who made a brief mention in a story published August 21st. Now, it should be noted, Woody Dixon was the individual you may remember that had the email chain involving the Washington State USC football game a couple years back.
Yeah.
He has since moved on. They replaced him with Merton Hanks, one of my all-time favorite 49ers and great chicken dance guy. And he told The Athletic that he thinks the officiating's great. The Pac-12 is working to an NFL standard.
Look at that.
And that they're always looking to evaluate and improve their officiating. He says, quote, "We want it to be well known that we're going to develop you. We're going to train you. We want you to do a great job for the Pac-12 conference to the point where our good friends in the National Football League come to us looking for great officials for their league."
Oh, God. This might be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. I get there are certain instances where things are completely screwed up at the conference level. And you point to the USC-Washington State moment from, what was that, 2 years ago, right? Like, that is an all-timer that Cougar fan will never forget, and they shouldn't forget, because they got totally jobbed, and it kept them out of a Pac-12 championship game and maybe out of a college football playoff that year because they were a 10-2 team. But when you talk about the conference overseeing officiating, how big of an impact does that really have on the field? Like, how much does an impact does the bro that they wanted to get fired that didn't get fired, how much does he really inhibit their ability to call a good game as an official?
When I read this story this morning, my takeaway was that these officials are basically, they're kind of pointing at Coleman as the, how can you make us look better? How can you put us in a better spot? Like, for example, and they gave a list of complaints. They complained and they were critical of Coleman, claiming there is, quote, no training, leadership, or credibility from the coordinator because he has accomplished nothing of note on the football field and has not officiated for close to 30 years. The only Power 5 coordinator that has not accomplished anything on the field is the Pac-12 coordinator.
Okay, and again, I would ask, if you were to hire a coordinator that maybe is fresh out of the zebra stripes, does that make Pac-12 officials better?
I think that's kind of their point, is that it would.
I get that's their argument. I'm just questioning the fact, does that really make them better? I get that you can do certain things with training. I get that you can develop guys different ways. I tend to view referees somewhat similar to athletes, and some just have it better than others. Some are more skilled at it. Some react better than others do. This is a bad look, though. Again, just added on top of the list of bad looks for the conference. When you have the officials coming out complaining about the head of officiating, and it's a topic we all complain about throughout the course of the entire year, it's a really bad look, and they didn't do anything about it. The officials didn't end up doing anything about it, so that makes it a bit of a chuckle. Maybe Merton Hanks with shining up the turd is going to be the difference this year, and that's what the conference has needed for a couple of years. I'm not quite buying his quote, but not the ideal article that you want released as we're 3 weeks away from the start of the season.
How many programs do you feel, fan base and program alike, how many programs feel like their team is not where they want them to be and it's based on officiating?
I mean, I would hope none. Like, look, everybody's...
You're on Twitter on Saturdays. Sure. I'm on Twitter on Saturdays. Some of our listeners are. This is the thing to bitch about in the Pac-12 is how bad the officiating is.
No doubt. And,
you know, some game, like the USC-Washington State game...
That's an all-timer that, of
it's
course,
a bad mistake,
is a huge
right?
issue.
And I'm not telling you that officiating is perfect. We all know it's flawed, but I wonder how can, not to defend the conference, but to kind of defend the conference, how can they change this to the point where this isn't the number one complaint from a fan base outside of their coach or the play calling? For example, there's a program called the Lightning Fast Program that you work with the NFL Director of Officiating. And it's a program that's always supposed to help train and emphasize things and learn when to call things and when not, and kind of the tempo of games. According to the anonymous official claim, the Pac-12 had said that they wanted to be a part of this. This says the exact opposite has happened, pointing to the conference relationship with that program and adding that it was voluntary at best.
Yeah.
So David Coleman, who is the coordinator of officiating, says after 2 years, Pac-12 officials have shown improvement in performance due to their participation in the Lightning Fast program.
Look, to your question of how many programs aren't where they, how many fan bases don't think their program is where it should be because of officiating, the answer should be zero. That's the same thing as like Blazer fan arguing you lost to the Lakers because of officials. Were there some bad calls? No doubt. You lost to the Lakers because you weren't as good of a team. And if you think that's the thing holding your program back, your anger is completely pointed in the wrong direction. I will say this too. The Pac-12 is not unique in this regard. I think this is a modern thing with sports. Did you guys follow the Yankees game when Buckner was behind home plate in game 3? Did we follow the officiating last night? The NBA Finals games when LeBron is complaining the entire time and getting certain calls? Like, this is universal.
Who has good officiating?
Nobody has good
officiating. I think that's a great question.
Who has good? Nobody does. We all complain about it. We all dislike umpires. We dislike NFL officials. I think there's a larger segment about what these Pac-12 officials are going to look like early in the year. Ross Tucker, our friend, I thought brought up a great point on Twitter last night. The NFL at the start of the season came in and said, don't swallow the whistle a little bit. There was no preseason. We're not like these guys didn't have a normal ramp up. Swallow the whistle. Let some things go unless it's a glaringly obvious penalty. And the flow of the game in the first 4 weeks of the season was great. And I didn't see a ton of complaints about the NFL. Call here, call there, but it wasn't a widespread thing. There was this fear that after the first 4 weeks is what a normal preseason would be, that they're going to start to ratchet it back up. What did we see last night? Now, part of it is the Buccaneers being a really penalized team and each team having their hand in it. But you saw like almost 20 combined penalties for 200 yards. And there were points of the game that grinded to a complete halt. There was no pace and too many flags. And that terrible roughing the passer call benefited me because I gambled on the Bears. A terrible call on Nick Foles late in the game that shouldn't in no way, shape, or form have been a personal foul. I would take a page out of the NFL's book and say, let them play to a certain extent. You're not going to get as many complaints in that regard as you would throwing a flag every time somebody breathes on somebody.
So one of the Simpson firm that I told you that concluded the review of their officials, they said one big problem is a pipeline problem. The Pac-12 is the only Power 5 conference without an affiliation with a Group of 5 league for recruiting and training purposes.
That's an issue,
quote,
sure.
Which is a major weakness, end quote. And they still, by the way, have not connected a pipeline with a Group of 5 or FCS conference to then train and bring up other officials.
Yeah, that's an issue. I think Pac-12 officials, for the most part, are pretty bad, and they're kind of blaming other entities for them being bad, which I get. Like, if you're bad at your job, you're going to want to blame your boss for being bad at your job. I do think there's some things that the Pac-12 could do. As you just pointed out, they don't have that pipeline. I think a lot of this is just simply being willing to find guys that are good officials, groom them, pay them what you need to pay them in order to keep them from going to either other conferences or moving up to the NFL level. Right? There are some things that can be done. I don't know. I read this article this morning about the officials complaining, and it kind of felt like they should be looking in the mirror a little bit. Like, some of this is personal responsibility. You're not good at your job. Let's not put all the blame on your boss for not being a good boss.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. I think it's a good read because this is for a lot of Pac-12 fans, this is it's a big concern. And it kind of has been now. It's been brewing for quite some time. I'm probably a little young just in the, did people talk about officiating in the 90s, Swigard, Pac-12 officiating? I know we're over the clock, but I'm just curious. Was it a talking point or is this a social media thing?
Social media certainly amplifies it because you can not only bitch about it, but you can attach video clips to demonstrate. You know, it goes back.
It's almost an impossible job now.
In the 80s, when very few, you know, when you didn't see Pac-12 game, all the Pac-12 games on TV wherever you wanted, you know, it was more legendary about if you weren't at the game. I mean, Ducks and Beavers games weren't televised every Saturday.
No, yeah. So no clue if there was a bad call.
Unless you were there or not, you know, it was kind of legendary stuff. So I think the fact once you had cable, once you saw games on TV all the time and it was there to see and you saw ESPN and everybody break it down and demonstrate how the call was bad, not just everybody whining, it got worse. But I don't know that it's... I mean, there were still bad calls.
Did hockey like their officials? Or do NHL fans bitch about the referees?
I don't see as many complaints.
No,
but
I think there's a higher respect factor for the referees in the NHL.
Because they have to actually skate?
Because they're out there.
Take pucks to the head. I mean, yeah, they're, they're in the middle of play.
They're in some serious action.
I mean, the linesmen have to go in and break up fights. I mean, there's a little bit higher respect. But when NHL officials, when you blow a penalty call, when you miss something that's bad, if you miss a bad high stick or something like that, not only does the guy risk injury, but power plays are big deals in for a hockey game and a potential, especially in the playoffs.
Right. Like go ahead.
And then there's other times where they miss it. I think the Stars, where was it? There was a phantom trip call. I can't remember which game it was.
I think it was game three of the overtime game. They ended up losing on a power play. Yeah,
and that's what I was going to bring up. Totally changed the course of the game.
Right.
Maybe unlike any other sport.
Yeah, I feel bad to a certain extent for officials, man, because they are in a fishbowl. We all have the benefit at home of watching instant replay that's slow-mode. Like, you immediately know good call or bad call. It doesn't take very long to figure it out, and then we can all go vent our frustrations on social media. That's why I tend to always be a guy that appreciates conservative officials, where, like, don't throw as many flags unless it's pretty obvious. Nobody wants the official to become a part of the game. Allow them to play to a certain extent. The NFL did a great job of that, and I think it's a big thing to keep an eye on for the Pac-12 when they start, because the officials don't have a normal ramp-up time. I don't know what they've been doing to get ready for the upcoming season. They're clearly not happy with their leadership in the conference.
It just sounds like they want better training.
Yeah.
They want more responsibility within the conference.
And maybe that'll help them get better, but we'll see.
All right, let's talk some college football that's actually being played and not officiating. Good college football slate this week, and we'll run down that next on The Fan. This is a good question. Who is in better shape officiating-wise, NBA refs or NHL refs?
Who's in better shape?
They're both moving all game, running back and forth.
You got to move the entire game.
I mean, I would say NHL, but that's based on me not being able to skate. If you can skate, I don't know how exhausting that is versus just running back and forth, probably running 3 to 4 miles a night.
I would say NHL officials, because they've got to contort themselves. I mean, NBA officials can just back up out of bounds to get out of the way of action.
You can't do that in hockey.
But if you look at the lines, when they're firing pucks around the glass or the boards, they've got to jump up or duck or spin or whatever. I would say the NHL officials.
I'd probably lean that too.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Skating's hard.
Yeah, and not to say that NBA officials aren't in great shape. I feel that more as like a constant jog for a couple of hours. You know, you kind of jog back.
And they rotate too. There's three of them, so really only like when you're truly fast break teams,
right,
where you've got a, you know, there's a quick change of possession and you got to hustle down the other end. But most of the time, you're kind of.
And I would argue there's more stoppages in an NBA game, way more stoppages in an NBA game than there are in an NHL game.
Somebody says soccer refs.
Yeah,
soccer,
you're just
refs,
running the entire
in
game.
In terms of fitness, absolutely. Yeah,
sometimes I see those guys, though, and you're like, God, you're able to run this whole time,
you
huh?
You see a fat
that
official.
Body type?
Like, it doesn't make any sense. What's going on here, man?
All right, Swigard, can we get some college football music and give ourselves some sports erections?
Ooh, yeah.
Easy. We're still in the still school time here on a Friday.
Whoa.
School time? What?
School's
out today, dude.
Yeah.
Kid had
really?
Day off.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. Friday day off just because.
Is there a holiday? I'm not. Oh, no, it's a statewide teacher in service, I believe, I heard somewhere.
I guess.
Thinking of all the teachers, man, it can't be easy this
year. Oh, man, my sister-in-law just.
It's tough, man. It's.
And now it's being
underappreciated.
Yeah,
that's for damn
public
sure.
Schools
that's
is going through the end of January. Beaverton going into early February.
I would mentally prepare for the whole year to be digital and then have them try to figure out something by next fall. But hopefully I'm wrong on that. Okay, let's start before we get some NFL stuff. I want to start with the 9 a.m. kick. I'm going to have to probably play this in my pocket while I'm moving my brother. Florida, the red hot Florida Gators. Kyle Trask, he's 684 yards, 10 touchdowns. They're heading to College Station to take on Texas A&M, who didn't look particularly great against Alabama.
No, they did not.
Pretty big SEC tilt, though. The line is right now Florida 6, 6.5, depending on where you're looking.
Yeah, Florida's an interesting one because they came in with a lot of hype this year. They are 2-0. They beat South Carolina last week 38-24, but wins over Ole Miss and South Carolina, I'm not quite sure what to make of that. Their schedule starts to heat up this week with that game against Texas A&M. They still have LSU on the schedule. They still have Georgia on the schedule. And then we'll find out, we'll get to it, I'm sure, what Tennessee's going to be this year, who they play in the last week of the season. So I think this is a proven game to go on the road. We saw what Alabama did to Texas A&M. Let's see if Florida can do the same. To be the number 4 ranked team in the country, you should be able to win this game. And I think on the other side, there's the question of, what is Texas A&M paying Jimbo Fisher for? Because I think we're going into year 3 now, right? That guy's making like $10 million a year. They expected to hire Jimbo Fisher and be launched into a, we're competing for national championships. That has not happened. They're not close to where Alabama is. And if you fall to, what would it be, 1-2 if they lose this weekend? And then what are you paying $10 million a year for?
Look out for tight end Kyle Pitts, too. He's a stud tight end, maybe the number one tight end in the upcoming draft. He's got 12 catches, 6 touchdowns. I actually like Florida to get to the SEC championship game this year. I'm a big Dan Mullins guy. And I think your point on Jimbo is great because is there a difference between what he's doing and what Sumlin was doing? Seems like it's been the same thing.
He's winning like 7 games every year.
Another 9 a.m. kick in the ACC. Briefly mentioned it. Virginia Tech, top 20 ranking, heading to the road to take on Mac Brown in North Carolina in Chapel Hill. Sam Howell in the Tar Heels are a top 10 team.
Yeah, this one, I don't know. The ACC really doesn't do much for me outside of Clemson.
That's because you're a hater.
I am a hater because the rest of the conference sucks. And the only reason North Carolina and Virginia Tech are ranked where they are is because the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is sitting at home right now. I think that will change as the weeks go on. Mac Brown's done a good job in his first year plus at North Carolina, so I'm going to give him credit for that. But I don't know how closely my eyeballs will be on this game at 9 a.m.
I think you should follow it a little bit.
I mean, if one team blows the other one out, I think it's worth noting. But if somebody ekes out a win, I don't know. I'm not buying North Carolina and Virginia Tech as legit threats this year.
Not really much to break down here. It's more just an interesting story. So Missouri is scheduled to play LSU this weekend at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. Well, they're dealing with that hurricane threat. And so they actually moved this game to Missouri, but they're still calling this an LSU home game.
That's a weird one.
But it's a pretty cool, kind of thing Missouri's doing. So LSU just tweeted out a picture. They showed up, and at the front of the stadium, it says, welcome, LSU. They're basically doing what they can to accommodate, to try to, give them this opportunity and work with them during a difficult time. Don't really care about this game much.
No.
LSU, 14-point favorite. We'll see if they can blow out the Tigers. But I thought that was pretty cool.
That is really cool. That's a tough situation. There's been way too many of those down south this year.
Well, no more than any other year
on
record.
It's always the same. And kudos to Missouri for making it as home away from home as they possibly can.
Red River rivalry going on. I don't know how much interest people have in this one. I've said before, unless these two teams are like top 10 and legit, I don't know. I think this is kind of you grow up with it and you care. And if you don't, it's a big game in the TV manner. But Texas is top 25 still, despite them should have had 2 losses against Oklahoma, who's had 2 straight losses.
This one feels like, and maybe I'm overreacting, a must win for Tom Herman. Like if you lose again, Lincoln Riley's got a lot of leash there. He's been a dominant program in the Big 12. He's won multiple Heismans. He's been to the playoff, it feels like, every year. I think every year since he's taken over as head coach. A down year, you're not going to get over your skis and say Lincoln Riley has forgotten what he's done. Rattler is a good young quarterback who's going to get better. He's either a freshman or a sophomore, if I'm not mistaken. I feel like the heat's going to get turned up a little bit on Tom Herman. This is a down year, clearly, for Oklahoma. They've lost back-to-back games in the Big 12. Not ideal. If you can't beat Oklahoma in a year like this, and you fall to, what would it be, 1-2 on the season for Texas?
That'd be 2-2.
2-2 on the year. Yeah. This is a year that Texas has to capitalize on Oklahoma being down.
Over under 72.5, boys. Would you take the over?
I would take the over in this
over.
Game.
Over.
I'd take maybe like Oklahoma to hit the over by themselves Texas to maybe hit the over by themselves.
Tennessee and Georgia squaring off in Athens at 12:30. Number 14, Tennessee. Georgia is number 3. Georgia took care of Auburn last weekend. Tennessee off to a nice little start. Although many people wondering, how legit is or are the Volunteers?
Did you know that Tennessee has won 8 straight games?
I did not know that.
Did you know
that?
Fun
fact.
There's a little fun fact for you. I didn't know that either until I was looking into this game, and I was like, man, Tennessee's ranked 14th in the country. Good for them. They've beaten South Carolina and Missouri to start the year, and of course, the SEC is playing an all-conference schedule this year, so no non-conference games. And you go back to last year, and it was one of the reasons why maybe some were, I don't know, semi-high on Tennessee coming into the year. Their last couple of games, they beat South Carolina, and they, of course, had a non-conference game against UAB in November because you need that. They beat Kentucky, they beat Missouri, they beat Vanderbilt, and then they beat Indiana in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. So you add those to the start that they're off to. And look, it's good that Tennessee is at least winning games that they're supposed to be winning, but the point of them not beating anybody is 100% valid, and I don't expect it to go well for them this weekend at Georgia.
Arkansas taking on Auburn in Auburn, 1 o'clock kick. Can the... Can Arkansas upset Auburn, who did not look good at all against Georgia?
Arkansas just won their first SEC game in 3 years, so sky's the limit, I
Felipe
guess.
Felipe Franks, baby. I told you, they're running a new offense there.
What they can do this year. And for Auburn, that was a pretty disappointing performance last week. Like, that was kind of the game of the weekend for a lot of folks. Georgia, Auburn, both top 10 teams. Georgia rushed out to, I think, a 24-0 start, and Auburn kicked a field goal from, like, the 3-yard line. Just a bad look, and that was a rough loss. So, yeah, I think they can pull off the upset. I'm not going to pick them. I think Arkansas is going to come back down to earth, but not an ideal start for Gus Malzahn.
Many labeled the game of the day Miami going to Clemson, 4:30 kick, ABC. Do you think the Hurricanes hang around? Are they back?
No. But I'm going to watch, and I'm excited to see if they can prove me wrong.
I hope they are. I love watching Miami be relevant.
I do too, man. And De'Aaron King is a difference maker. There's no doubt about that. So maybe he is the missing ingredient for Miami to hang close with Clemson. He has had a 50-touchdown season in college football. He only played a couple of games last year and then sat out the rest of the year, if you remember, to get the red shirt and then transfer to Miami. But no, I tend to think these are the kind of games that Clemson, the giant, is awoken. And they come out and they prove a point.
And finally, how about Saban going to Ole Miss to take on his former OC, Lane Train?
Did you see what Lane Kiffin said today about the former Saban coaches all having the same group chat? So it was like Jeremy Pruitt, Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, and I think it might have been Sark, might have been the other one.
Well, Sark's still there.
Oh, he's still there. So yeah. Maybe it wasn't Sark, but it was basically all these former Alabama staffers, and they're all on this group chat, even on weeks that they play each other because they're all in the SEC. And I think his quote was, we talk and have ongoing conversations because we all have the same daddy.
Probably similar stories being yelled at, too.
That's a pretty good quote there, Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, we'll see. 23.5 point spread. I don't know if they're going to hang very closely. All right, there's your college football slate this week and some pretty good games, some interesting things to follow as well. All right, we'll spread the line in exactly an hour with KT. We got What the Line. Any lines out there that you guys see anywhere available that kind of make you go, what? Eh? What are we thinking with that one? We got crunch time around the corner, NBA Finals talk as well. We'll come back with some NFL talk, some NFL news and notes. We'll get to that next.
Hey, welcome back in 1:36 on a Friday. Before we get to some NFL stuff, I love when these kind of things go around Twitter. It makes me think and makes me laugh, makes me smile. But there was one that went viral, and our fine, esteemed producer over there just quote-tweeted it, and it made me chuckle, and I had to go Google what he was talking about. So one of the latest viral trends, the teams have done some of this stuff. Like, have you seen those, like, name a random player kind of thing? Like,
no.
Yeah, the Mariners did that.
Mariners and Blazers did it.
I tossed out Bill Cottle.
Yeah, it's like, hey, name a random Blazer, and everybody's responding with their just a random Blazer name that pops in your mind.
Corky Calhoun.
Yeah, this one is, without telling your age, what is something from your childhood that kids today would not know about? So without saying, hey, I'm old, here's what I did when I was a kid, just what was something from your childhood that kids would be like, huh? And Swigard quote tweeted it with, am I pronouncing this right, Garanimals?
Garanimals.
Have you ever heard of Garanimals?
No, can't say I have.
They're from the 1930s. Just kidding. Came out in 1972.
You're chiming in on this crap now?
I apologize. Was it like kids' clothing?
Yeah. And so the tags were different animals, and so it was designed so you could find all the tags that had the same animals would, like, mix and match.
Sure, sure.
But there it was.
Garanimals.
Yeah, I think they were like at Kmart and.
I mean, this sounds like something that would have been cool in the 30s, though. Like, oh.
Garanimals.
Did you get the elephant tag on your shirt?
Do they still exist? Are Garanimals still a thing?
Garanimals.
I thought
look.
There was a website.
Okay.
I googled real quick to make sure I spelled it right.
Yeah, it's still a website.
They're still around.
But
they're still there.
Granimals.
Created in, right when Swag was born, 1943.
Yep. I think it came into existence in 1972.
You are cooking me a seven-course feast when your Braves go down.
What would you say? What would I saw this, and it made me think during the break.
Dial-up internet, AOL.
AOL AIM. Instant Messenger is a pretty good one. Pogs, like we talked about
Pogs
the other day.
Is a pretty good one for us.
It would be pretty funny.
You know, I know they're still around, but they do not have or carry the same substance for kids. Super Soakers was the coolest possible mother bleeping thing you could have had back in the day.
Especially a high-powered one.
Yeah.
You guys could say Beanie Babies. I know we brought that up. No, that wasn't your
youth? That wasn't for me.
No, I mean, they were around.
What was the stupid digital pet on a keychain?
Tamagotchis.
Tamagotchis. Yeah.
That was kind of like middle school.
Was that you? Okay.
I never did the Tamagotchi, but they were around. My mom. Tamagotchis were there.
Trying to think of like fads that were short-lived.
You know what makes me chuckle too?
Bum apparel, if you want to go close. You remember bum?
I do remember bum apparel. Big Dog as well, which I think Big Dog is still around. That was a pretty big deal in the
90s. Oshkosh.
I laugh every time when I go, like we just rented a house this last week in Sun River for the wife's birthday, and it was great, a great stay. But this happened at the same place when we rented a house to go to the coast for the wedding. But I love when I go into houses
and
you
they're
can rent.
Dated. You can tell exactly
was
when
that, and then there's still VHS tapes.
Yeah.
And then some houses don't even have a VHS player. And it's like, do you just, is this like a nostalgia thing? Do you not want to get rid of these?
Yeah.
When was the last time you put a VHS in to play a VHS tape?
I'll give you a really good one that kids nowadays don't have. And like, I had to explain this to my daughter. TGIF.
Yeah, TGIF.
They don't have appointment programming.
Thank God, it's Friday.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you meant the restaurant.
No, well.
TGI McScratchies.
You could say that too. But TGIF, I mean, every Friday night, you watched the, what was it, three or four shows, whatever it was, 2 hours of block programming specifically made for family and kids. Kids don't have that anymore. It's streaming.
For me, it was NBC's Must See TV.
That was your
go-to. On Thursday nights.
Yeah.
When it was The Cosby Show, when you could acknowledge watching him.
Again, I'm so glad my grandma is dead before she saw that story happen. I got to be honest.
Cheers at 9.
For kids?
No, for, well, I was
yeah,
in.
You said for kids.
You were totally a kid that watched Cheers. I could see that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I did, too. I used to watch the reruns all the time when stepdad and mom did.
Somebody texted in something to tell kids what they wouldn't playing outside with friends. That's a really good one of like, just, hey, come back at like 5 o'clock, take your bike, like be back by dinner kind of thing.
You know what's funny? So last night.
Does that still exist in any way, shape or form?
No. So last night.
I don't think in major metropolitan, maybe if you're out in the sticks.
We had a little family dinner last night after I golfed, and we're hanging around, and my niece is about to turn 13 years old. And I've known her since she was one, right? I started dating the wife when she was one, and so now to see her at 13 is still a trip to me. And we're talking last night about our youth. And she's in on this conversation too. And it was brought up like back in the day when you would go out at like 6 o'clock sometimes. Even like your parents, if you had a couple friends, some parents would be okay. And you could ride to the store and go get candy or something and ride back. And a lot of parents, it's just normal. And my niece like looked at me and went, oh my God, it sounds kind of scary.
And that was her reaction.
And I felt bad for her because I totally get why. And that in itself, like the playing outside with friends or the, just leave on a Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And you wouldn't come back till 8 o'clock at night. And largely you wouldn't even communicate with your parents. Really? You'd just show up.
There was no cell phones. There was no way to communicate.
And you'd be like, Mom, what's for dinner? Yeah. Oh, there's pizza in the oven. Like that was normal for us. And someone her age, like I remember being 13 and what I did and what I shouldn't have done. And they don't do that anymore, and it's that really sucks for them.
Yeah, I want to rattle through a couple of these at the text line. I knew this people would be texting these in. Somebody said kids things that kids won't know today: lawn darts, a milk box. What else we got? 8-track tapes.
Ben says tennis shoes that had pumps.
Oh yeah, pump tennis
pump
shoes,
up sneakers. Yeah,
there's a Nickelodeon slime, running video games at Blockbuster. That's a good one. JNCO jeans,
JNCO jeans,
video arcades for that.
Video arcades. If you want to go further back, drinking
Lug
from
boots.
The boots. The water hose.
Yeah.
Do kids not do that anymore? We can't drink from the hose?
No, because parents are always like, I don't know if there's lead in there.
We said Bruce Jenner. what else do we got here?
We had to go there.
Shakey's Pizza. Trapper Keepers. I don't get that reference. Is that before my time?
Oh, yeah, that was your notebook.
Oh, okay, notebooks.
Can I also tell you this one?
Trapper Keeper, yeah, that was...
Nerf Turbo Footballs.
We had peachy folders, right? It was notebooks and peachy folders.
Yeah, so the Trapper Keeper had, like, the cool Velcro flip.
Yeah.
Because before, your binders were pretty much like that denim, that blue denim thing that were cheesy. So these Trapper Keepers were... kind of vinyl plasticky, but they had Velcro and they had different pockets and they had color corded little folders that would fit in.
I'll give you another one for us. And this probably works for swag too. Video games came out for us and a lot of kids had video games, but still what mattered was also like the coolest new board game. Like I remember when Mousetrap came out. And the commercials for that, and you're like, oh my God, I got to play Mousetrap. It looks so cool.
We got to play that game.
Or Don't Wake Daddy. I just bought that game for my kids because I remember those commercials. And now my kids, they couldn't care less about playing board games.
Oh, that was great. Keep sending them in, man. I'm enjoying reading these. I saw this Swigard quote tweeted it. Without telling your age, what is something from your childhood that kids today would not know about? And he responded with Garanimals, which sent us down a rabbit hole of what the hell are Garanimals and what are the things from your childhood?
Star 6'9".
Yeah, that's, yeah. But just house, like landlines. Does anybody have a landline anymore?
E-Bombs World. Yeah. So you could do prank calls with different celebrity voices. Prank calls in themselves was a big deal.
Very true.
God, man, we used to have all kinds of things that kids nowadays will never understand.
Fun trip down memory lane. Remember the simple times pre-COVID? Good times. Okay, coming up next, let's get to the NFL. As they had to reshuffle their schedule. Another team was sent home today. We're fingers crossed they're going to be able to play this weekend. We'll take a gander at what's going on. Also, we get another doubleheader on Monday Night Football. An update on the NFL next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, Beaverton, Alloa Division, Vancouver. They're all up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com. Stop by one of the locations today. I was not at the Glorious House of Gains today.
That is 7-9 bull.
I did do 2 miles on the treadmill, though. And don't forget, you got 3 more days. If you join by Rocktober 12th, you get the rest of Rocktober for free, plus $0 enrollment on the Peak membership, which is what Sprague and I both have, and it is awesome. Lots to get to in the final hour. Spring in line. Get those sponsors in 503-250-1080. We'll get to the NBA finals because it could be decided tonight. We'll take a gander at the old baseball ledger and see what's going on, what happened last night, what's going on today, and then preview the NLCS for you between the Dodgers and the Braves. Swigard, by the way, has tweeted out a Garanimals commercial from 1975 at 1080 The Fan on Twitter if you want to go watch it.
I love old school TV commercials. They're great.
They are fantastic.
Because they meant everything. If you didn't make an impact in your commercial, boy, you weren't going to see that product very long.
And I could just picture Swigard rocking some Garanimals as like a five-year-old. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of plaid looks. Good looks, man.
You know, also, I'd say we, maybe our generation had the last benefit. Actually, never mind. This country's too fat. I take back what I was going to say.
What were you going to say?
It felt like parents used to let you eat any and everything. Hot dogs, frozen TV dinners, McDonald's. But
we were not as aware about our diets back then.
Well, the food pyramid was bull. They actually lied to us. Their food pyramid was backwards.
Yeah, but we didn't have video games. We went outside and played in the street all day.
There was a balancing act.
We burned those calories off.
That's true.
You also didn't have to wear a seatbelt back in the day. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
So.
You used to ride shotgun. You know, that was never a law of like how old you had to be for that.
Yeah, what the hell, man. Let it fly. Let's get to the NFL as a semi-concerning headline out of New York today, as I'm bummed because this line has been pulled from the board and I wanted to gamble on the game. The Jets have had a presumptive positive COVID-19 result, and because of that, they have sent everybody home. They are trying to do retesting to determine whether it is a false positive. This happened a couple of times in baseball. My Giants actually went through this where they were in San Diego. They had a positive test. The teams got called off the field. They missed a Friday game and a Saturday game. They realized after testing that it was a false positive. They were able to get some doubleheaders in and ultimately make it up. But not a with everything that's been going on in the league, and we're awaiting a decision on what's going to happen to the Titans. Like, and we'll get to that in a moment, but not the headline you want. You just kind of cross your fingers and hope that this is a false positive. Everything will be fine for the Jets and the Cardinals because they've already had to go to jump through a bunch of hula hoops to get the schedule in, and you don't want another game to get moved.
Yeah, Schefter, though, tweeted 15 minutes ago, team plane is still scheduled to fly to Jersey at 3 o'clock. The plan remains in place. Team is now departing for the East Coast in 90 minutes. So okay.
They're still going ahead with it.
They're still going to go ahead. I saw a tail end of Get Up with Russini and Schefter when he had tweeted this out this morning. And it basically just sounds like they're same thing as the Chief Patriot game. One positive. Yeah. They'll see what happens. If they test positive again, then okay. And they'll try to contact Trace. But I think we at least know this about the NFL. Until they drastically come out and change the messaging, this is just going to be a we don't care, we're pushing forward, and some games will get played on time and other games will get pushed to Monday or Tuesday or pushed back later right in the season.
Well, talking about pushing games too, that has happened to a number of them. So the Broncos and Patriots game has been moved to Monday. That game is going to start. You ready for this? That game's going to start at 2 o'clock.
Ah.
We're going to get middle of the show football on a Monday. It's going to be the Broncos and the Patriots again, as I mentioned. And that is the game, if I'm not mistaken, that they're going to have Herb Street and Fowler call.
Yes.
Correct.
So they put those guys on the broadcast for it. It's not going to be, I'm assuming it was a CBS game or something, originally at least, moving it to ESPN.
Just a regional game.
Just a regional game, yeah. So Broncos, Patriots will now be a Monday night doubleheader leading into Chargers and Saints, the second half of that, both on ESPN. And then they're moving the Bills and the Titans. As long as everything holds firm with the Titans, and they had no new positives today, so that's a good sign. The Bills and the Titans will now be playing on Tuesday.
That's not going to be weird.
At 4 o'clock on CBS, so get ready for that one. Now, the domino effect here is that the Bills, remember, were scheduled to play one of the more entertaining Thursday night games on the entire calendar this year. They were supposed to play the Chiefs this coming a week from yesterday. They're supposed to play the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football at home. That obviously not going to happen because they're playing on Tuesday. So now that game has been moved to the following Sunday. So we're going to lose out on Thursday Night Football next week, but we add Tuesday Night Football. Welcome to the NFL in 2020.
Yeah, look, it's just going to be weird, right? It's I was trying to plan a little getaway with two buddies, and yesterday I was thinking, I'm like, well, Super Bowl's in February. Wait a minute. Super Bowl actually could be played in March at this point.
we have no clue.
We have no idea when this is all going to get itself worked out, if it will, or it's just always going to be a Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Thursday situation. It's ugly. It's not perfect. But again, the NFL, they've made it abundantly clear. They're not going to miss games. They're not going to miss checks. They're not going to rob networks of TV viewing options that they've given them preseason. So it's going to be really odd to watch a game at 2 o'clock on a Monday for me.
That's really weird. And then a Tuesday.
Tuesday
NFL
is
game.
Even more strange because are those teams having byes that week? Or are they going to play on Sunday?
They're supposed to play the following Sunday.
That
I believe.
Seems really unfair for those teams versus the teams who will be able to rest on Tuesday and not have to play.
Well, and talk about, again, the unfortunate nature of it. I was like, sometimes you get to Thursday Night Football and you're like, oh God, Dolphins and Jags or right. Jets and Broncos. Dude, KC and Buffalo is going to be an awesome game.
Yeah.
Both were assuming going into the game undefeated. Who knows? Maybe one of them gets upset this weekend, but you're assuming maybe having 5-0 Buffalo hosting 5-0 Kansas City on Thursday night. That would have been one of the more compelling Thursday night games of the entire season, and now it's not going to happen. Now, it could still happen if Tennessee has more positive tests in the coming days before their game against Buffalo is supposed to be played. That game will then get pushed to who the hell knows where, and they will play Buffalo, Kansas City on Thursday night football if they can't play Buffalo, Tennessee on Tuesday night football.
These these coaches have done a pretty good job of kind of being mum on this stuff. Like Tomlin took the canceled game and the we don't have a bye now for 13 straight weeks. He took that pretty well. Who is going to be the first coach to bitch about the schedule?
You're going to see, I think, a lot of anonymous quotes coming out. Sources are saying coaches are unhappy.
I want a coach to put his name on it and be like, I don't like this. This sucks.
I'm trying to think, who's the most like outspoken coach in the NFL? Is it John Gruden?
It might have to be a coach that's on a hot seat, though, too.
Yeah.
Right? like Patricia. Could you see Patricia going, you know, I don't really think it's fair. We have to play on a Tuesday and then we got to play on a Sunday.
I don't even know what he sounds like. My guess would be
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton could be it.
Yeah, Sean Payton hates the NFL.
Yeah, maybe Belichick too, because he hates Roger Goodell anyways to begin with.
I don't know. Belichick doesn't strike me as that guy.
He doesn't want to allow any excuses for his team.
That's true. Let me ask you this last one before we go, because this will now be back-to-back weeks. We'll get a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. Last week it was Chiefs-Pats, then followed by the Packers and the Falcons. Now we get Broncos-Pats, followed by Chargers and Saints. This one different, because I think that was like a 4 o'clock and a 6 o'clock or somewhere in that range, 3:36, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So this one's starting earlier. Would you trade off a Monday Night doubleheader every week in the place of Thursday Night Football?
I said this the first one. Absolutely.
No doubt in your mind.
Yeah. Okay. I know people, there's some people that are against it because you go till almost 10:30 at night. But if you start it earlier and then play the other one at normal time,
what
and
about
they overlap,
this format? Would you do it? Would you trade it off for a 2 o'clock start?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Okay.
I hate Thursday Night Football.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people raise that flag of like, see, Thursday night doubleheaders can work. Even last week, you had to do alternating networks because the first one was on CBS and the second one was
Monday.
On ESPN.
You're talking about Monday.
On Monday night, sorry. And then this one, it'll both be on ESPN, so it'll flow seamlessly. But it worked having multiple networks involved too.
Well, I thought it was good because the Patriots were hanging around in that game for quite some time. And I didn't feel like I had to catch the very start of Green Bay Atlanta.
By the time you got there, it was like 14-0 anyway.
Right. You can find out how they scored those points. Not that you didn't know, but.
Right. Yeah. So the NFL, they're doing a whole bunch of hula hoops trying to figure out how the schedule's going to look. And it'll be an interesting weekend. We're all keeping our fingers crossed that Jets and Cardinals game will go on as planned, because the last thing the NFL needs is to have to move or reschedule another game after everything that's gone on over the last couple of days. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, Beaverton, Aloha, Division, Vancouver. They're all up and running. Go check them out. Crunch.com. And remember, if you join by Rocktober 12th, you get the rest of Rocktober for free, plus $0 enrollment on the Peak membership. That's what Sprague and I got. It's an awesome membership. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we will Sprague the line, so get your fake sponsors in, 503-250-1080. I want to take a gander around Major League Baseball as some series and seasons came to an end last night. We do have a Game 5 upcoming later on today, and we know what the NLCS is going to be. What should the bet between Swag and Sprague be? We'll start, though. Let's get to the NBA Finals. Does the NBA season come to an end tonight? Game 5 between LA and Miami. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.